Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th of March, recording at 10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly a bit steadier, although the China A shares were a big exception. They opened stronger, extended the rally, and then fell back quite sharply on a downward dynamic on some disappointing political news, apparently. More on that in a moment. In the European stock markets, we had mostly modest gains. The UK, a very slight loss. In the Americas, again, we had mixed activity here. No changes of significance. Wall Street, gains and losses on the indices of less than 1%, or less than a quarter of a percent, rather. The Toronto index was down 1.27%, however. Now, much bigger action elsewhere. In long-dated government bonds, prices plunged. The U.S. 30-year long bond is down 2.5 points at this stage, so we had spikes in yields, just as we had downward dynamics in the bond prices. The U.S. dollar was a bit firmer in here today, with the dollar index at 80.53. We have seen, now let's see what else to mention in those currencies. The euro is down to 130.30. The Aussie down to 104.5. We had sharp declines in precious metals. Gold is down $31 as I speak. That's at 1643. And we have we've got silver down $1.43. As I speak, that's at 32.15, and we have lesser declines for the industrial metals, which are palladium. I'm listing it with the industrial metals, although it is a precious metal, but moves more with the industrial metals, and currently down over 10 at 6.98. But that's one of the lesser declines. Platinum is down 26 at 1675. The crude oil prices are a little weaker, just below 125 on the Brent. That's down a dollar and a bit, as is WTI at 105.62. Greens and beans slightly easier, with the exception of soybeans, which has been the front runner recently. And that's pretty much it in terms of the main yen. It's a very weak yen, 83.70 against the U.S. dollar as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are still extremely firm generally, although today was a quiet day for stock markets. China market accepted. Now, China's action amounts to a fairly big downward dynamic for those A shares. It was a news event-driven move. Sometimes those have not led to follow-through. And against this background generally, and the background of China's, I'm talking about global stock markets, and the background of China's quite reasonable gains that we've seen this year, I would say we would need to see some downside follow through tomorrow before I would want to read too much into today's key day reversal. Conversely, if we see a reasonable rally tomorrow in the market, I would tend to regard the key as perhaps no more than an aberration. We'll see. Stock markets again had such a good day yesterday. It's not surprising to see a quieter day in here today, but nevertheless, the steady action is impressive overall. But some of these markets have been up near rarefied areas. We've got the S&P index, which has well almost tested the 1400 level yesterday. Well, these are levels that few people would have been predicting during the course of the year, back at year end. So we are talking about extremely impressive gains here. And the consolidation was not of sufficient duration to bring many of the leading indices back closer to their 200-day moving averages. We can say the same for many of the leading shares, particularly among U.S. Autonomies, that a lot of these are still quite overextended relative to their rising MAs, not least Apple, which I've described as the new gold. But these upward accelerations, without fail, are eventually spectacular though they are when they occur, and they are fueled by additional momentum buying, but they inevitably end in very sharp reactions. All you have to do is flip through a chart library and you'll see innumerable examples of that. So, what about these bonds, though? I think this really is an interesting story. Is the bond bubble that some of us have talked about, is it actually bursting? Well, we're certainly seeing some more aggressive signs that it is deflating than we've seen for a good many months. And we've been talking about I've been talking about these bond futures prices in the US and elsewhere, also in Japan, rolling over in recent audios. And we have seen some big downward dynamics here, and therefore some big upward dynamics by the yield charts. And I think that's they look like bases, and the bond prices look like tops. And they're going to have to rally back into those previous patterns to extend that overall top development or base development in the case of the yields. Both Owen and I have opened short positions in these markets. He chose the U.S. 30-year Treasuries. I chose the JGBs. Incidentally, we had not collaborated or discussed those before the positions were opened. We talk about these markets every day here, but they've been on our watch list, needless to say, and of course mentioned in these audios and in comment of the day. Now, elsewhere, although the U.S. dollar is quite firm in here overall, we basically have mostly range trading among the currencies, with the exception of the yen, which has weakened really quite sharply. And I think that well, that all ties in as part of what I think is quite an interesting picture for Japan. Owen and I have long maintained that we would need to see a weaker Japanese yen before we would get a significant recovery by the Japanese stock market. And the reason for that is that this the super strong yen was just devastating for the export earnings of Japan's world-class export companies. And therefore, this yen weakness is manna from heaven. for those companies, and that makes them very attractive stock market plays in this environment. Also, the JGBs, which do not have much of a yield when you consider that Japan now has an inflation target, which it vows it will achieve and should be able to achieve. Therefore, there is quite a possibility, I think a probability, that we will see some money, some savers' money, coming out of those JGBs and going into the Japanese stock market. And that certainly makes sense to me. And I don't have much trouble justifying an overweight in the Japan stock market at this time. Now, precious metals. This is turning into a significant pullback for both gold and silver. This started for gold, and I've written about it at some length today, so I won't review all that. But it started when gold got back up and looked at its November high of last year, just near the $1,800 level. And then, as you may recall, gold did that last month, and then it fell back with quite a sharp downward dynamic. And we are getting some additional follow-through to the downside. Silver is back below its 200-day moving average. Gold is just below it, not significantly, and that MA is still moving up. But more importantly, having failed at the resistance, a number of traders and investors will not surprisingly say, well, if the resistance held, will the floors hold? And those are the lows that we saw in, what was it, December and Oct no, sorry, October and December, down in the 1533 to 1522 region. And I think, given the technical deterioration that we've seen recently, that well, clearly we're still very much in this corrective phase. We will need to see what happens with those former support levels to it, put it. I'll put it this way: gold will need to establish a sequence of higher reaction lows before we can anticipate a resumption of the overall upward trend. Now, conversely, if gold takes out those two previous lows that I mentioned in that 1533 to 1522 region and holds that weakness for more than a few days, people will be looking for an additional downward step. And the last time when gold peaked following a clear acceleration, that was back in the first half of 2008, I think around April, when gold rallied up above $1,000 for the first time in this move. And it then fell back and, of course, eventually encountered the full gale of the 2008 asset liquidation. But it then required about took about 18 months from the peak before gold had established a steady progression of higher reaction lows and was able to break back above its first half 2008 high and resume its overall bull trend. And the overextension on the acceleration to the August-September highs of last year was of a similar magnitude, only gold's at a higher level. We aren't even 7 months into this corrective phase, so I think we need to be prepared for a fair amount of additional to-ing and fro-ing in this corrective phase before, and then, as I say, gold will then have to establish another progression of higher reaction lows to indicate that it is back in a demand-dominated environment. I think that could or will most likely happen, but we might. We might see it range bound for up to a year, perhaps a little bit more. The charts will tell us. And silver will continue to act as the high beta proxy to gold. Crude oil prices are still high, but at least they're not spiking, and we are not seeing an across the boards move upwards in commodity prices, which, unlike stock markets, where we have seen pretty much an across the board upward move by equities, that means bottom line, we still have a favorable environment for equities overall. The only risk is not that much of a risk, in my opinion. It is that we will see some pullbacks and consolidations. But most indices are comfortably above their rising 200-day moving averages, which is consistent with the cyclical bull market that we've been talking about. All the best.